For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. My friends, gospel preaching is important. And therefore, the role of a gospel preacher is vitally important. In fact, gospel preaching is so important, it is the very means by which God communicates His will to mankind and saves those who will obey His message. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Preaching is important. In fact, preaching is so very important, it is the very thing which began the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 2, we find the birth of the church. And on that great and notable day of Pentecost in Acts 2, it was Peter and the apostles who stood up and preached by inspiration of God the first gospel sermon as an accomplished fact in the name of the resurrected Savior. And on that great day, because of gospel preaching, about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel, and the Bible says they gladly received the word. Acts 2, verse 41. Preaching is important. In fact, preaching is so important, it is not just the way God reveals His message. It is not just that which began the church, but gospel preaching is that which continues even this very moment to build up the church, to edify the church, to equip the church, to exhort the church, and encourage the church to do God's own will. Frank Chesser is a gospel preacher who encourages me greatly. And I doubt very seriously I would be here this day without his encouragement in my life. Frank Chesser said these words about the role of the preacher. He said this, "The role of the preacher is involved in building up a congregation. There is no such thing as a strong church and a weak pulpit." Frank Chesser also said these words, "God's view of congregational strength demands a pulpit that reverberates and echoes with the voice of God and not the voice of man." And my friends, that's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall leave the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, make full proof thy ministry, do the work of an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4, 1-5. Preaching is important. My friends, because of all those reasons and many, many more reasons, you and I should have this great desire to understand the biblical role of a preacher. In the past year, we have preached sermons on the eldership, in fact, 7 of them. In the past year, we have preached several sermons on deacons, and both of these are special roles in the body of Christ. But dear friends, the preacher and his role is also a special function and special role in God's design. And when it comes to all of these special roles in God's plan, there is a great tendency for us as human beings to have wrong ideas and misconceptions about these roles. But as you and I seek to understand them biblically, it is very important for us never to define a preacher or an elder or a deacon or a Christian based on our ideas and our preconceived notions or what we have seen or what we think or what we have thought. Nor must you and I use the denominational world to explain for us and define for us what a gospel preacher is or is not. We must let the word of Almighty God, who has designed preaching and given to us preaching, let us know what a preacher is and what a preacher is not. And my friends, that's our sermon this morning. What a preacher is and what a preacher is not. And as you and I seek to understand this role, you and I could very easily open our Bibles to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, a trio of books that were penned by inspiration to two gospel preachers, Timothy and Titus. And in that trio of books, we can see numerous things involved in what a preacher is and is not. But we're going to open our Bibles to a different portion of Scripture this morning. Not 1 or 2 Timothy nor Titus, but Acts chapter 20. And primarily in verses 17 to 27 of that chapter, we see several things about what a preacher is, but also what a preacher is not. In this passage, Paul has been at Ephesus for 3 years. And Paul has been preaching the gospel for 3 years at Ephesus. And now it's time to move on. But before Paul moves on, he calls for the elders, and in this chapter gives a farewell address to the Ephesian elders, and there are numerous things we can learn from this passage. I want to begin this morning with the negative first, what a preacher is not. And from Acts 20, 17 to 27, there are three things a preacher is not. First of all, the preacher is not the pastor. In Acts 20, verse number 17, the Bible says, Paul, here in this situation, sent from Miletus and called for the elders, plural, of the church at Ephesus. Here Paul has been for 3 years, laboring night and day, verse 31, at Ephesus, preaching God's word. And now he's leaving, and before he leaves, he calls the Ephesian elders. He is not an elder. He is talking to the elders. Our question is this: what is an elder? And for the answer, we open our Bibles to 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a true saying: if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. In the plan of God, there is an office, a role, a function known as serving in the office of a bishop. Now, for a man to serve in that capacity, he must meet qualifications, which are in that very chapter, 1 Timothy 3, also Titus chapter 1. And when a man meets those qualifications and is thus appointed, he serves in that office of a bishop. Now, there are six words in our New Testament which are all synonyms. They mean the same thing. They're interchangeable, that is, and they refer to the same office. These men are called elders, Acts 20. They're called bishops. They're called presbyters. They're called shepherds. They're called overseers. And my friends, they're called pastors. These men, elders, or bishops, they're also called pastors. So in Acts 20, verse 17, when Paul called for the elders, just in your mind realize he called for the pastors. He is not a pastor. He is talking to the pastors. It is the role of the elders or bishops or pastors or shepherds to be the overseers of a local church. In Acts 20, in this very chapter, verse number 28, Paul told these elders that God made them, the elders, not him, the preacher, them, the elders, overseers over the flock. Dear friends, the preacher is not the pastor. What has happened in the world is this: they've taken that word pastor and applied that word to the preacher. When folks meet me and realize I'm the preacher in the world, oftentimes they're perplexed. You mean you're the preacher? You're kind of young, aren't you? And I think part of that is my age, but also part of that is this: in their minds, the preacher has his church, We hear of Joel Osteen's church. We hear of T.D. Jakes' church. All of these men and their churches. And they have their church. They're over that church. They lead that church. The church follows them. It's on them. That's denominational. And they think, well, you're young to have a church. You're young to lead a church. You're young to be the pastor, and that's not biblical. The preacher's not the pastor. Do you realize the preacher used to be called the parson? You know what the word parson means? Literally the person. He's the person. He is the person of the church. That's not biblical. He lived in the parsonage. I'm not the person. I'm not the pastor. We have three pastors, and I'm not one of them. Paul was addressing the Ephesian pastors, and he was not one of them. The preacher's not the pastor. A special role he has, yes. He can help the pastors, but he's not a pastor. Number two, a preacher is not perfect. Preachers are human beings. Preachers get discouraged. Preachers need encouragement. Preachers need support. Preachers have feelings. Preachers have personalities. Preachers get worn down. Know what Paul said about himself in Acts 20, verse 19. He says, during this duration of 3 years, he was serving the Lord with them. And he uses two ideas to describe the kind of service he was yielding there at Ephesus. With many tears and temptations, or trials, that is. Paul says, I've served you here for 3 years as a preacher, helping you, preaching the gospel, and I have preached and done this work with many tears, literally much anguish. He has gotten discouraged, he says, time and time again. We call Jeremiah a preacher, a prophet, the weeping prophet. Preachers are not perfect. I want to share with you some statistics I found this week, and I have these behind me on the board for a reason, because oftentimes whenever preachers give statistics, you kind of get lost in them. And if you don't see the statistics, it really might not be as impactful. But I want to give you some statistics. And I find these statistics very alarming. 23% of preachers say they have been fired or pressured to resign at least one time in their career. 25% of preachers don't know where to turn when they have family or personal conflicts in their lives. 25% of preachers' wives see their husband's work schedules as a source of conflict. He's gone too much. He's doing too much. He's not home enough. He's not with us enough. That's the idea. 33% felt burned out within the first 5 years of ministry. 33% say that being in the ministry is an outright hazard to their family. Now, know how these statistics rise. 40% of preachers and 47% of their spouses are suffering presently from burnout, frantic schedules, and/or unrealistic expectations. 45% of preachers' wives say the greatest danger to them and their family is physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual burnout. 45% of preachers say they've experienced depression or burnout to the extent they had to take a leave of absence from the ministry. I have known preachers who have literally quit preaching because they've gotten so burnt out and so discouraged, and so disheartened. 45% say that. 50%, that's half of preachers, say they feel unable to meet the needs of the job. 52% of preachers say that they and their spouses believe that being in ministry is hazardous to their family's well-being and health. 56% of preachers' wives say they have no close friends. Can you imagine feeling that way? 57% of preachers, note this one, say they would leave preaching if they had somewhere else to go or some other vocation they could do. 70% of preachers say they don't have any close friends. 75% of preachers say they suffer severe stress causing anguish, worry, bewilderment, anger, depression, fear, alienation. 80% of preachers say they have insufficient time with their spouse. 80% of preachers believe their ministry affects their families negatively. 90% of preachers feel unqualified or poorly prepared for ministry. 90% of preachers say they work more than 50 hours a week. And 94% say they feel pressured to have a perfect family. That's not far from the truth, my friends. Those are alarming statistics. Preachers are not perfect specimens of Christianity that never get tired, never get discouraged, never have bad feelings, never get in the blues. We might say preachers are not perfect. Number three, preachers are not people pleasers. Note again verse number 19. Note a phrase in verse 19. Paul says, I've been serving you for 3 years. And note what he says. Serving, and underline this passage here. Serving the Lord. He was at Ephesus. They had elders. They had many members. Yet he was serving the Lord for 3 years at Ephesus. A preacher is not someone who serves himself. That is, he preaches to gain a name. He preaches to climb a ladder, we might say, to find the biggest church and preach at that church, to make a name for himself. A preacher is not a servant of self. He serves the Lord, nor is a preacher a servant of every want and wish and whim of every member. Oftentimes, members think that since the preacher is paid and since they give and their giving pays his salary, that means they can tell him what to do. As if he somehow works for them and is responsible to them. Paul says, I have been working and serving the Lord. Paul was not a hireling that they paid to come in and told him what to do and when to do it. He was working with them, not for them, and serving the Lord. And oftentimes those who are in the body of Christ, especially those who are very wealthy, think that since they give a lot, they have a lot of say and a lot of control and a lot of sway. And oftentimes there are members who think that since the preacher is paid and since his work is spiritual and since he's at the building and doing spiritual things, then they can load him with their individual personal responsibilities. And that's not what a preacher is. He's not a paid hireling. He serves the Lord. But what is a preacher? If that's not what a preacher is, some person who has his church and leads his church and is over his church, not some perfect person who never gets tired, never gets discouraged, not some person who serves himself or mankind's wants and wishes. What is a preacher? Two things from this passage, and it will be yours this morning. Number one, a preacher is a proclaimer of the Word of God. Note with me some verses, like verse number 20. When Paul says he was teaching them in a public way and teaching them in a private way, in an open way, but also from house to house, his work involved teaching. Note verse number 21, testifying. That is, strong preaching in that language to encourage change. And in that passage, he was testifying both the Jews and the Gentiles to bring forth repentance. He's preaching. He's teaching. You know, verses 26 and 27, he says this, he has not shunned to declare or preach the whole counsel of God. In this passage, Paul says, I have been serving God, and what I've been doing is preaching the Word of God. That was his primary work.
And when you read those texts that Paul wrote by inspiration, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, that is the primary expectation that God gave those individuals. One day, every single preacher will stand before God in judgment. And the Bible says in James 3, verse 1, those who teach will have a stricter judgment. And when they receive that stricter judgment from God Almighty, they will be judged based upon God Almighty's expectations. Have you preached the word faithfully and fully and fervently? Have you done your duty when it came to preaching the word of God as my messenger? A preacher is a proclaimer of the word of God. And a preacher, number two, is part of the congregation. When you read Acts 20, this chapter, I want you to take note of all the words like this: among you, with you. Those are very important words. Paul says, I have been serving the Lord, preaching the gospel among you. Not over you, as if I am the person and you are under me and under my control and my authority. Nor did Paul say this, I have been preaching under you as if you are over me, authority over me. Nor am I preaching away from you as if I'm distant and not among your lives. But I'm preaching the gospel, Paul says, among you. A preacher is part of the congregation. The reality is, my friends, the preacher and his wife and his children are members of the congregation where they're working just as much as any other member is as well. Whenever I gave you those statistics, and all these preachers' wives say they don't have friends, any close friends, all these preachers say they have no close friends, what oftentimes happens is, a preacher moves in with his family. He's an outsider. He did not grow up in that town, not go to school in that town, does not work in that town, in the world, we might say. He has no connection there, we might say. He's an outsider. And sometimes, even in the body of Christ, he is still an outsider. People have their friends. They have their groups. And if he's not in one of those groups, he's not in the group. But dear friends, a preacher is a part of the congregation. Whenever you think of those words like among or with you, that denotes a relationship. That local church making him, making his family a part of them. He was preaching among them. He was one of them at Ephesus. And I hear folks make statements like this, and I realize there are times when it's needful to change the preacher and hire a new preacher. I realize that. But folks make statements like this. Folks will get mad and disgruntled and say, well, I think it's time to replace the preacher. Do you realize if your light bulb burns out, you can replace that light bulb? You can take that old light bulb out, throw it away, and replace it. It's disposable. If your toaster at home burns up, you can replace that toaster. Throw it away and buy a new one. If your pet goldfish dies, you can replace that goldfish. But you don't replace a relationship in the body of Christ. A preacher is not disposable. His wife is not disposable. His kids are not disposable. He is a part of the congregation. And that, my friends, is not replaceable. You don't replace a relationship that you cherish deeply and that you work at deeply to kindle and build and grow. You don't replace that. And my friends, when you think of those words among and with, that also means something, not just for the local church, but for the preacher. Note again verse number 20. A preacher is part of the congregation. That is, the congregation makes him one of them, but the preacher is also himself part of the lives of the congregation. In verse number 20, he was teaching them in an open way, in a public way, but also from house to house. He was in their homes and a part of their lives. There are two extreme views when it comes to preachers and visitation. Extreme view number one says this: a preacher does not need to visit. I mean, he's the preacher. He preaches, he studies, he teaches. That's what he does. And that's not biblical. A preacher is part of the congregation. Their lives, he's involved in those lives. Extreme view number two, though, also wrong, says this: that it's the preacher's duty to visit. And the preacher must spend most of his time visiting. And dear friends, there are preachers who do that. They are on the roads. They go here and they go there. They're in this hospital. They're in this hospital. They go all over visiting. By the time Sunday comes, how much time have they spent preparing to stand up and preach the Word of God faithfully and fully, like Paul did? You see, numbers might grow because of those relationships, because of visiting, but when they get there, are they being fed the Word of God? A preacher is to preach the Word and also to visit. Why? Because he's part of the congregation. He's a Christian, just like anybody else in the body of Christ. I realize that these 5 points, what a preacher is not, 3 things, and what a preacher is, 2 things, does not exhaust the list on either end, positive or negative. But as you and I think of these things, let us greatly appreciate this role that God's designed to communicate His will, and let us appreciate what a preacher is and what a preacher is not. The question is this, though: how do you respond to preaching? The preacher is to preach the Word, but how do you respond when the Word's preached? Those in Acts 2 heard the Word preached, and the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts, and they gladly received the Word, Acts 2 verse 41. Just a few texts later, Stephen stood up and preached the same gospel sermon. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, and those Jewish people were cut to the heart. And they picked up stones and killed that preacher of the gospel. Do you have that open and receptive heart to the Word of Almighty God? Receive the Word with meekness, James said. And as you and I do that, it will indeed save our souls. James 1:21. Have you obeyed His gospel? If not, why not? Do it this morning. Don't delay. Through belief, repentance, confession, and water baptism. Putting on Christ in baptism, because Paul said, "For we are all the sons of God by the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3:26-27. Are you God's child but not faithful? Having a need for encouragement and strength and support and prayers? If that's your case this morning, then ask for those prayers. Let us give you that strength. Let us pray with you and for you and allow God to forgive you, because He will every time. 1 John 1, verse 9. As we stand and as we sing.